Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to all our listeners. This is the Business Day Spotlight, your destination for African business made simple. My name is Mdiwa Kabaza, and for today, it's a big week in the economy because we had recently the State of the Nation address that came from President Cyril Ramaphosa, sort of outlining what the country's plans are going to be. But for the economy this week, we look at how those plans are going to be funded and, what type of budgetary implications that's going to have, for the fiscus, the national revenue, for, the national deficit, trade deficits, all of these big issues that have to do with how the government is going to be funding its activities. And to help us to unpack what we should be expecting, we are joined by Johan van Tonder, who is an economist at Momentum Investments, and he's going to be giving us some insights into what we might expect, pre-budget, before Finance Minister Tito Mboweni takes the stage midweek to give us what the state is going to be spending its money on. Johan, good morning to you.
Thank you, and good day to you all.
I think a good place for us to start, your expectations in terms of government revenues and shortfalls, because that seems to be, the big thing that people are keeping an eye on at the moment, to say, because the economy is where it is, a lot of us aren't participating in the economy the same way that we were, this time last year, and that's also having an impact on the amount of revenue that the government is able to collect.
Yes. If we can go back, as you say, to February last year. February, we didn't have any inclination of what was going to happen during the year. So when we look at the budget that the minister announced, he expected a revenue shortfall or a budget deficit of around 370 billion. So yes, it was a bit higher, about 9% higher than previous year, but still it was manageable. And then we got COVID and lockdowns and so on, and everything changed. So in the medium-term budget, what actually happened was he revised his revenue down by around 18%, which is a huge number. So what that means is he expected that revenue will be about 316 billion lower than what he estimated in the February budget, which is huge. And on top of it, expenditure was increased upwards by about 84 billion rand. So that increased the budget deficit to around 770 billion, about 15 to 16% of our gross domestic product. And that, that sort of set the tone for what was going to happen right through the year. So we expect a large revenue shortfall and an increase in expenditure. But what happened was that the economy recovered a bit earlier than what the minister thought. And we can see evidence of that all over with all our economic indicators and so forth. The latest budget revenue numbers from the main budget suggest that there's going to be a huge overrun in budgets this year, and that can be up to 100 billion or even more. So that would mean that the deficit that was expected in the medium-term budget can be much, much smaller than what the minister envisaged early in February, or rather in the medium-term budget policy statement in October. And that's very good news for us.
You know, as you're talking, I'm trying to balance out, because you've just ended on a note of, you know, some good news, but there's obviously, you know, the other side about, you know, the funding and, you know, actually getting to that place where, there is that shortfall. Do you expect, you know, that by this time next year, or, you know, through the year, that the overruns will probably increase, you know, to, I guess, being better, not better, being bigger than, you know, what is actually being projected right now? Because I think if there's anything that the last sort of year has taught us, it's that, you know, we plan for one thing, but, you know, by the end of it, we've gone and taken money out of the cookie jar, out of the socks, out of all of the places where we didn't expect to take money from, to fund, you know, activities, especially when it comes to social spending.
Yeah, that's the thing. We should remember, even though there's going to be an overrun, the deficit will still be about 216 billion larger than what the minister envisaged in February last year. So it's still big. It's just compared to the medium-term budget that it's a bit smaller than was expected. But nevertheless, it is good news. So if we look at a plan such as a budget, nothing ever runs according to plan. We should know that. Not in South Africa, never in any place in the world elsewhere. So it's always just a plan, and it sets out expectations of revenue and expectations of expenditure. So if everything runs smoothly during the course of the year, which we know is not going to happen, but if it happens by some sort of a miracle, then our budget should look a lot more affordable than we expected it would look by November last year. So that's good news. But even so, if we look at what the president, President Cyril Ramaphosa said in the State of the Nation address, he spoke a lot about the relief measures we needed to put in place last year, such as the COVID grants of 350 rand a month and the TERS payments to businesses and employees and so on. But he made mention that that was the relief phase and we need to move over to the recovery phase. So what we're going to see most probably is a lot about the recovery phase and how that's going to be funded. And that recovery phase will then move away from your social grants and so forth. And there might be a phasing out still, but into enabling more infrastructure development and more investments so that we can move to job creation away from grants, so that people can actually look after themselves. Because what we should remember, what happened last year, and in South Africa, we are very known for assisting each other, especially family transfers, where somebody lost a job and so forth. So, but when those who normally look out for their family members and friends, when they started losing their jobs, suddenly they couldn't do the transfers to their families and friends. But the anecdotal evidence now clearly shows that there's an increase in job creation and that it sort of happened much faster than initially expected by the National Treasury. So some of those people who had to rely on TERS payments and who actually could not do the transfers would have recovered their jobs and can continue. So that would lessen the burden on the minister to try and increase social grants a lot going forward in this year and allow him to focus on the reconstruction and recovery plan. And that's going to be it via your investments and infrastructure development in this year. So there's quite a number of things that we need to take into account when we look at what he's going to do. But certainly I think that the grants are going to be phased out and the focus will be much more than on the job creation part and just the maintaining the status quo of last year.
Now, in terms of getting all of this stuff off the ground, like you said, that move away from grants and, you know, the move to job creation, possibly infrastructure projects, all of that. I think the part that has some people concerned is how the government will actually then fund these activities, because we've spoken shortfalls, etc. But now the issue is the government going to have to, I guess, borrow from international institutions, as we saw last year, the World Bank, IMF, or, you know, private players on the one end. And on the other end, you know, are South Africans going to have to bear part of the burden by, you know, seeing some increase in taxes, whether it's on, you know, sales through, you know, VAT, or, you know, through, you know, the work that they do with personal income tax. Your thoughts on those funding aspects?
Yeah, that's an interesting one. It's all going to depend on the fiscal strategy, but also what the president said in the State of the Nation address. He's going to rely a lot more on public-private partnerships. So the government will enable the funding of the infrastructure and other investments through several funds that's been set up. So the government will make some sort of a contribution to these funds, and then it's up to the private sector to take it further and invest in these specific projects. So there's a lot of the money is already being committed, and I don't think the government is going to actually fund all the projects, all the big projects. It's going to be more a public-private partnership. So there's not going to be a huge burden from an infrastructure funding side of it. And then that blended sort of finance gives you the opportunity where you can take some of the government funding, which can be seen as a grant, and some commercial loans, and you blend the two and you find lower interest rate loans, which can make a lot of infrastructure projects more viable and profitable for your private sector to start funding those. And as we speak, I know there's quite a number of these projects that's already started, and some of them should start during the course of this year. So I don't think there's going to be a huge burden on the taxpayers to actually fund these projects, as at this stage it looks like the private sector is going to do the largest part of the funding and the government's going to play more of an enabling role in doing this.
And in terms of that enabling, I guess this is a follow-up as we round up the discussion. Do you think that, especially given where everything is at the moment, part of it is going to have to be some type of reappropriation. What type of, I guess, support, you know, would there be for, I guess, reallocating certain funds, simply because, you know, certain segments of the government and the state have been, I guess, I don't want to use the word shortchanged, but, you know, all the places where we thought we're going to reallocate money to, you know, to fund all of these activities that we thought we're going to have, you know, seem to have been tapped out last year.
Yeah, I think most of those have been done already. And the important thing to remember from last year's medium-term budget policy statement was that the minister said they're going to start from a zero-based budgeting basis going forward. So if that makes it difficult for departments just to put forward a number, and they're going to have to motivate exactly that specific amount that they need and why they need it, and it must be part of the priorities as put forward by the State of the Nation address. So most of the reallocation and appropriations had already been done. It's now a question of doing a zero-based budgeting, see what you come up with, and then prioritize according to the State of the Nation address. And I think importantly, the issue is going to be more on, as I said earlier, the fiscal strategy. What's the government going to do in terms of the debt? We don't want another episode of further rating downgrades, because that will increase the cost of servicing our debt even further. So we don't want that. So is the government going to actually use the revenue overrun to reduce the debts, or will they fast track some of the investment programs to get economic growth going? So that we don't know. It's anything can happen, and we're going to have to wait till Wednesday to see what type of fiscal strategy the minister decided to follow.
And then as we round up, your thoughts just on the broader economy, because what's happening with this week with the budget, you know, sort of, I guess, a foreshadowing for what the rest of the year might look like. But I guess in your estimation, how are you guys, you know, at Momentum, just looking at the outlook for the year in terms of growth and, you know, whatever metrics you guys are paying attention to?
Yes, to answer that, we need to go back to the fourth quarter growth, right? I think what we've seen from the high-frequency economic numbers that came through is that we will have another positive quarter in the fourth quarter of last year. It might be anything between 5 to 7% growth, which is not bad. But that would set or immediately create a higher sort of base going into 2021. So the first quarter might be weaker or even negative. But from there onward, if everything runs according to plan, we might even see a 4% growth rate. But we do know there's going to be distortions and hiccups during the course of the year. So at this stage, as things stand now, we foresee an economic growth rate of about 3.2%. And in terms of consumer price inflation, it is trending upward gradually due to, among others, that we're going to have the impact of the higher oil price and higher electricity and so on coming through. But we see an average for the year of around 3.9%, and we don't expect interest rates to be increased this year. Specifically, we think inflation will be for the next 2 to 3 years around 4.5-4.7%. So no need really for the Reserve Bank to act this year, and we actually can't afford any further increases right now until we're on that recovery path that the president set out in his State of the Nation. And I think we should see some traction coming through this year. And once that happens and jobs are going to be created, we also see the job creation increasing during the fourth quarter and during the course of the year, as well as we see the recovery going forward and as we see the economic reconstruction and recovery plan being implemented by government. And I think that will be the test that we're going to have to look at, the implementation of the reconstruction and recovery plan. That's something we need to look at and monitor during the course of the year.
So that's been us with Johan van Tonda, who is an economist at Momentum Investments, looking at what the week is likely going to be looking like in terms of the budget speech, which Finance Minister Tito Mboweni is set to give midweek. And this is all based off of what happened earlier in the month, where we saw the President giving his State of the Nation address. And now we have the Finance Minister actually telling us how they're going to do what they're doing. Some highlights from what Johan is saying. He's just saying that there could be, you know, about 216 billion rand less in terms of revenue collection. This is based on the National Treasury's estimate in February 2020, but at the same time he's also noting that it could be 100 billion rand more compared to the medium term budget policy statement, you know, which could be good news. But either way, there is going to be some type of a shortfall. And then he's just saying then that one of the big things is that we're likely to see a move away from increased social spending towards, you know, greater job creation and hopefully, you know, some more in terms of infrastructure projects. And then just also ending off talking about you know, where some of the reallocation which has already been done, and the fact that the finance minister is looking at a zero-based budget process going forward. And then their outlook, just based on what happened in the fourth quarter of 2020, is that we are sort of going to hover in that 3% growth rate by the time we get to the end of 2021. Johan, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you. It was a great pleasure.
This is Mudiwa's Take.
Always a great discussion when we get to talk to economists. Thank you to Johan for joining us. Big week this week. We're likely going to see a lot of numbers coming out. Obviously, the finance minister's budget speech, but at the same time, there are some jobless numbers that are also set to come out. So we'll be keeping an eye on all of these things. When we get to the end of the week, Friday, when we have our economics show at the end of the week, those are some of the things that we'll be looking at, you know, to see, you know, what the finance minister is thinking about, but also at the same time thinking about the issues that were raised previously by I remember we spoke to Davi Root of the Efficient Group together with Annabel Winter of Investec, just about the type of support and power that Tito Mboweni has had to, you know, sort of try to get, you know, to get the budget, to get these budgets passed, who's in charge of the purse strings, who's not, what does South Africa actually need. And I think this budget is going to be quite telling of what some of those interest groups are and who is actually, you know, who's actually controlling things. So wait to see what happens on Wednesday. Very tough job for the presidency, very tough job, more importantly, for National Treasury, and we just hope that they find a way to really balance things out. It's not an easy situation, but we do hope, like what Johan was saying, that this is the year that we start seeing a return to job creation and a move away, you know, from some of the social spending, because it was unplanned, right? That was unplanned expenditure, and anything that can increase job creation in South Africa is welcome. So that's been it for this edition of the Business Day Spotlight. Remember that you can find our latest podcast on Business Day on the Business Live website. Sorry, that's under the podcast Business Day Spotlight tab. And then on Twitter, we are hashtag BD Spotlight. And remember that you can review and subscribe for free on iono.fm, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, or wherever you choose to get your pods casted. Thank you to our amazing team. Our producer is Paige Muller. I've been Mudiwa Gavaza of the Business Day and Financial Mail, and this has been another edition of the Business Day Spotlight, which is a multimedia live production. So, from herself and the rest of the team, it is good evening, good afternoon, and good morning.